Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Aho Nivangsha Yashashavadataha. Raya Vratto Yatra Puman Puranaha. Krita Vratara Purushaksa Adyash. Chachara Dharmam Yad Akarma Hetum. Aho Nivangsha Yashasadvadata. Praya Vratto Yatra Puman Puranaha. Krita Vratara Purushaksa Adyash. Chachara Dharmam Yad Akarma Hetum. Translation, oh, what shall I say of the dynasty of Priyavrata, which is pure and very much celebrated? In that dynasty, the Supreme Person, the original personality of Godhead, descended as an incarnation and executed religious principles that could free one from the results of fruitive activities. Report by Srila Prabhupada. There are many dynasties in human society wherein the Supreme Lord descends as an incarnation. Lord Krishna appeared in the Yadu dynasty, and Lord Ramachandra appeared in the Ikshvaku or Raghu dynasty. Similarly, Lord Rishabhdev appeared in the dynasty of King Priyavrata. All these dynasties are very famous. And of them, the dynasty of Priyavrata is most famous. I'm going to read two more verses, text 15 and text 16. The translation of text 15 reads, quote, "Who is that mystic yogi who can follow the examples of Lord Rishabhdev even with his mind? Lord Rishabhdev rejected all kinds of yogic perfection which other yogis hanker to attain. Who is that yogi who can compare with Lord Rishabhdev?" Unquote. Purport. Generally, yogis desire the yogic perfections of anima, laghima, mahima, prakamya, prapti, ishitva, vashitva, and kama, vasayata. Lord Rishabhdev, however, never aspired for all these material things. Such siddhis, or perfections, are presented by the illusory energy of the Lord. The real purpose of the yoga system is to achieve the favor and shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But this purpose is covered by the illusory energy of yoga maya. So-called yogis are therefore allured by the superficial material perfections of anima, laghima, prapti, and so forth. Consequently, ordinary yogis cannot compare to Lord Rishabhdev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So those two verses are in meter. The next one, text 16, is in prose. Very long verse. Translation, Shukadev Goswami continued, Lord Rishabhdev is the master of all Vedic knowledge, human beings, demigods, cows, and brahmanas. I have already explained his pure transcendental activities, which will vanquish the sinful activities of all living entities. This narration of Lord Rishabhdev's pastimes is the reservoir of all auspicious things. Whoever attentively hears, so I hope you're attentively hearing, or speaks of them following in the footsteps of the acharyas, will certainly attain unalloyed devotional service at the lotus feet of Lord Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. The teachings of Lord Rishabhdev are for the people of all yugas, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwarapa Yuga, and especially Kali Yuga. These instructions are so powerful that even in this age of Kali, one can attain perfection simply by explaining the instructions, following in the footsteps of the acharyas, or listening to the instructions with great attention. If one does so, one can attain the platform of pure devotional service to Lord Vasudev. The pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees are recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam so that those who recite these pastimes and listen to them will become purified. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. As a matter of principle, devotees should read, speak, and hear Srimad Bhagavatam persistently 24 hours daily if possible. And if not, at least every day. 1 hour. That is recommended. That is the recommendation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kirtaniya Sada Hari. One should either chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra or read Srimad Bhagavatam and thereby try to understand the characteristics and instructions of the Supreme Lord who appeared as Lord Rishabhdeva, Lord Kapila, and Lord Krishna. In this way, one can become fully aware of the transcendental nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, one who knows the transcendental nature of the Lord's birth and activities attains liberation from material bondage and returns to Godhead. So whoever is writing the verses can put number 17, but it's a prose verse. And I don't think we're going to recite it, so you can, whoever puts the verse doesn't need to put that one. Whoever does that. Text 17. Okay. Well, I wanted to cover three verses, especially because what Prabhupada is saying in the third of these three verses helps expand the importance, elevate the importance of the prior two verses. Because what Rishabhdev was teaching, and even more so the example set by Rishabhdev, it's very high. The example is beyond human. But the teachings are meant to elevate his sons and elevate those who hear and recite them to the transcendental position. And explicitly, Prabhupada is saying here, it's meant for all ages, especially for Kali Yuga, and that's the one that we're in now, Kali Yuga. These teachings, because the Yuga Dharma for Kali Yuga is the chanting of the holy name, so it must be combined with the chanting of the holy name. But when we combine the chanting of the holy name and Rishabhdev's teachings, the door to the spiritual world opens wide. Mahatsevam dwaram ahura vimuktes is one of those teachings that Rishabhdev gives to his sons, which is certainly 100% applicable to Kali Yuga. Mahat Sevam. Dwaram Mahur Vimuktes. By serving the great souls, the door, the gate to liberation is open. In that process of associating with great souls, referring specifically to the teachings of Lord Kapiladev in a prior canto, in the third canto of Bhagavatam, Kapiladev explains to Devahuti, whatever are the entangling, problematic, and suffering-causing conditions that exist in one's life, they're all dissolved. The conditions are dissolved. The struggle is dissolved by associating with saintly persons. It's not just that you just stand next to them and there's some work that you have to do. But association means, same as the explanation in Bhagavad Gita, pranipat prashna and seva. Tadviti pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. They're the verses referring to the tattvadarshi. You should find a tattvadarshi, Krishna says to Arjuna, and you associate with them. Here's how you associate with them. Pranipat, prashna, and seva. And what happens when you associate in that manner with a tattvadarshi? Knowledge is imparted. And knowledge is received. That's what it means by imparted. Because the tattvadarshi may be broadcasting very widely to all the populace. And some persons don't hear it. Some persons make offense. Some persons hide under rocks and they can't see the light because they're under a rock. But it's transmitted and received when one associates in that manner. And the whole entanglement of material existence dissolves. I was particularly appreciating in the first of these verses, the one that we chanted, akarma hetum. Hetu means cause, and akarma means free from bondage to fruitive activities. So that which is the cause of freedom from bondage to fruitive activities is the activity that we're doing right now. Hearing about, speaking about, remembering, trying to understand and appreciate Rishabhdev's teachings and Rishabhdev's life. Very powerful. Because to cut that knot of attachment to fruitive activities, try it. Try it without this method, and what will happen? It's impossible. even it becomes a fruitive undertaking to release oneself from fruitive activities. It becomes I want, of another type, and I want liberation. Bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakale ashanta. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, the teaching is there. It's really amazing. The teaching of Rishabhdev is, and Kapiladev and Krishna, because these three are mentioned in the purport, cut the affinity for trying to be an enjoyer in the material world. But everybody in the material world is trying to be an enjoyer. That's why we're here. And even the, as we were speaking yesterday evening, the 90%, the karma kanda, it's all about fruitive activities. The Vedas. 90% of the Vedas is about fruitive activities. Recognizing that people have such strong attachment to fruitive activities. And so connecting that fruitive activity penchant, determination, to something that will elevate them to the point where they can become free from the tendency for fruitive activities, trying for fruitive, but then even then it turns into I want another kind. I want moksha. I want release from. I want or I want. Or I want. The other one is siddhi. So bhukti, mukti, and siddhi. So Rishabhdev's teaching says, bhukti, forget it. Mukti, forget it. And siddhi, forget it. By his own example, the second verse is saying, Rishabhdev completely rejected that which all yogis are fixed upon achieving. Rishabhdev completely rejected that which fruitive workers are fixed upon achieving. Rishabhdev completely rejected that which gyanis are motivated to achieve. What's left? Pure devotional service. And that's really the essence of the living entity's healthy, normal, happy position. And that's what we want. Healthy, normal, sustainable position. But we have to be willing to cut. And the transcendental knowledge given by Rishabhdev and Kapiladev and Krishna, essential is detachment. There's the false kind, palgu vairagya, artificial and false kind of detachment that most people are afraid that when they see somebody get very involved in the Hare Krishna movement, oh, they're going to give up everybody. Because that's the generic brand on the shelf that everybody knows. When you start to become spiritual because you don't know the personality of Godhead and devotional service unto Him, you start rejecting everything. Prapancha kataya buddhya hari sambandhu vasana mumukshubi prityago vairagyam palgu katyate. Those persons who reject hari sambandhu, those things that are in relation to hari, they reject those things in relation to hari and give them a bad name. It's false. Jagat mithya. Bad. Reject it. Instead of engaging those things in service to Krishna, just giving it a bad name, calling it false, and walking away. That kind of renunciation is palgu vairagya. It's false renunciation. artificial renunciation. It's concoction. As much as trying to be the enjoyer is concoction, that's also concoction. It's the flip side of attachment. This is the heads and tails, the two sides of the coin, attachment, aversion. It's the same coin. Just turn it around. You haven't tricked anybody that understands the Vedas properly. The purpose behind the Vedas is lost to such people. What's the purpose behind the Vedas? Vedaishtasayavairahamavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavav He's like one of us. He's covered Brahman. We're covered Brahman. He's covered Brahman. What's the big deal? He's a higher grade of covered Brahman. That's okay. The covering is more subtle. It's very offensive. But they miss the purpose of the Vedas. They miss the purpose of detachment. They miss the purpose of attachment. They're attached. They say, don't become attached to anything. But they're attached to liberation. They're attached to merging with Brahman. They're attached because it's intrinsic to the soul. You can't annihilate desire because it's intrinsic to the soul. You're going to desire something. Bhukti mukti siddhi. According to Lord Chaitanya's teaching, sakale ashanta, it makes the mind not peaceful. Why is it difficult to chant with rapt attention? Just this morning I was experiencing very blissful chanting, just absorbed in. And I knew it wasn't going to last. But it was very nice while it was enduring. And understanding it's just going to be some residual tendency, the tendency to try to be the enjoyer of something, to try to be the fruitive worker and get something done, etc. Give it a nice name instead of a bad name. Like being responsible, I've got so much service to do, and the mind goes to the service instead of to the holy name. I just got tricked by... When it's time to do your service fully attentively. When it's time to chant, chant fully attentively. And then you'll do your service better. But we're so conditioned. The teaching of Rishabhdev is, it starts with detachment, but that's incomplete without attachment to the Supreme. So the teaching really is attachment to the Supreme. And when there's attachment to the Supreme, then these first two verses, this one, where his fame, Vangsho, Pri Varato, the dynasty of Priyavrata, very famous. Interestingly, Prabhupada compares it to the Yadu dynasty and the Raghu or Ikshvaku dynasty and says it's more famous. I think more people in this world have heard of the Yadu dynasty, and even within ISKCON, we've heard of the Yadu dynasty so many hundreds and thousands of times. And the Raghu dynasty, even people that aren't part of ISKCON know that one. And who knows the Priyavrata dynasty? But the fame is there because of Maharaj Rishabhdev and the wonderful example that he set and the teachings that he gave. The example that he set isn't something we're supposed to imitate. Put marbles in your mouth and go naked in a forest. And live like an avaduta. We're not supposed to imitate that. But complete detachment from material enjoyment, complete detachment from mystic perfections, complete detachment for the aspiration for liberation, What's left is the personality of God has lotus feet. So instead of putting marbles in our mouth and walking naked through the streets and in the forest, we're fixing our mind on the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, appropriate for this age, is wherever you go, make your life perfect by taking this teaching, and wherever you go, instruct others something. About something. It doesn't have to be everything, but something. Something that can better their lives. So you try your best to understand, what is that something that this person that Krishna has brought into the path of my life can hear and palatably accept that will be beneficial in their life? Then you become an instrument of elevation, instrument in the hand of Lord Chaitanya, an instrument of elevation. It's not you, it's the instrument. It's just Lord Chaitanya. Remind them of Krishna, somehow. So part of what we do to remind people of Krishna is we dress like this. When we don't dress like this, people aren't reminded of Krishna. I remember as a new devotee, I was part of this era of the counterculture where it was, I'm not going to have anybody tell me anything. I'm going to decide for myself. And if somebody tries to tell me, that's a good reason to not do it. Rebellious spirit, very independent-minded spirit. So to join the Hare Krishna movement, it wasn't easy. It was easy in one sense because it was transcendental, but to deal with that mentality that I was just a product of my generation was a little difficult. So I remember when I moved into the temple, I had my dungarees with my favorite hole in the knee, and you know, my hair that wasn't like everybody else's hair. And I wasn't like sending off this vibration that says, don't tell me what clothes to wear and don't tell me to cut my hair. I wasn't of that mood, but that something in there was like that. But the devotees didn't say anything. They just accepted me as I was. And I was like braced ready for something to come at me, and nothing came at me. So I let my defenses down and I started thinking, why am I thinking like this? What's going on here? And then the next stage was, if I can do something that can help me remember Krishna and help others remember Krishna, why would I not do that? Give up this stubborn obstinacy program and think differently. Think, what can help me? And if I dress this way and put on tilak, I was already having neck beads, but I was, you know, dressed differently. If I can remember Krishna, something, I need all the help I can get. Something that can help me remember Krishna, and something that can help other people remember Krishna. Yes. So it's, boom. It was easy. When you think, what's pleasing to Krishna, beneficial to Krishna, beneficial to the Krishna consciousness of others, It's easy. It's not a big sacrifice. It's easy. It's happy. And it doesn't matter whether you're a sannyasi or a grihastha or a brahmachari or a vanaprastha or a this or a that. That principle carries you into molding your life in the mood of service, where whatever you do is so that it's beneficial. And going back to yesterday's verse, the beneficial for all of humanity is to take this message and vibrate the message. With discretion, to which audience, how you vibrate, and another audience in another way. So that's nice, you use your intelligence, that's wholesome. But the principle of receiving the and transmitting the message. It's in a mood of service. not a mood of, okay, I'm going to master this, like we do with all other material things in our lives. Here's a challenge. I'll meet the challenge and master it. I'll conquer and control and be powerful, and everyone will respect me, and all those other awful things that go into the competitive society that we live in. Forget that. Just do some simple service to another living being, according to these wonderful teachings that we get from Srimad Bhagavatam. Makes your life perfect. The doorway to liberation is opened. Or as Bilva Mangala Thakur said, I don't think I have to concern myself with liberation, because I hear knocking at the door is liberation personified with folded hands saying, can I serve you? I don't have to go looking for liberation. I just want one thing. Be fixed on the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead in a mood of service. That's all. That's all. And everything else desirable will come. That's the definition of faith given by Lord Chaitanya in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Shraddha Shabde Vishvas Kahe Sudridha Nishchaya Krishne Bhakti Sarva Karma Krita Hoya. Faith is that if I can achieve one thing, all other subsidiary desirable things, they'll follow behind this one thing. Just do this one thing. And what is that one thing? Krishna Bhakti. Just whatever you do, let it be pleasing to Krishna. Krishna wants the living entities that are in this world to come back to him in a loving, serving mood. Okay, let me assist Krishna. And I don't have the capacity, but as his instrument, so be it. Let me try. Like that expression that I was reading yesterday evening, Prabhupada saying, how is this possible? But let me try. So humble service. How is this possible? But let me try. And stay with it. Continue to strive to achieve that purpose. And however imperfectly we may do, continue to strive to be that humble instrument of Lord Chaitanya and the disciplic succession following him. Let us just be, let my life be that. However dull, slow, imperfect, let me try. Krishna sees that sustained effort and Krishna sharpens the dull. Krishna gives capacity more than was previously there. And then Krishna wants to see, are you going to become proud? Oh, look it, now I have some capacity. Just stay in the humble mood. And the capacity will increase and increase. And it's wonderful. And it's not at all about honor, fame, distinction, profit, adoration, and all that other yucky stuff. It's simply about service. In Madhurya Kandambini, in the Anartanavritti section, chapter 4, where it's describing the eradication of unwanted things of the heart, there's four categories of anartas, each one of them according to the origin or source of the impurity of heart. So anartas that arise from past sinful activities, there are some impurities of the heart from that. And he says, the chanting of the holy name eradicates all of that. So then the next category is impurities that arise from past pious activities. That's a little more puzzling. But if our heart is not fixed in the mood of service, and there is some fruit of our past pious activity, we want to be the enjoyer of that. And that's an anartha. So that tendency is also eradicated by the chanting of the holy name, because we're chanting, please engage me in service, not please give me an opportunity to be the enjoyer of the fruits of my pious activity. Replacing that tendency with the service tendency. So now we're in this third stage, a third category, and impurities that arise in the heart due to aparad. And there's different types of aparad. There's save aparad, when we make offenses in the course of deity worship, for example, in nectar devotion. Long list of watch out for different things that when you're engaged in deity worship. Beginning with don't come in the temple room with your shoes. There's a list. So, and if there's one of those offenses that's done, that's also eradicated through the chanting of the holy name. Doesn't mean we just wear our shoes in the temple room, but if there's some unintentional mistake, then that's relieved through the chanting of the holy name. And so comes down to the chanting of the holy name offenses. Nam aparad must be vigilantly avoided, because with nam aparad, then we won't become sharp, we'll stay dull. And the sharpening is the instrument to cut the affinity for being the enjoyer of matter comes from pure chanting, offenseless chanting. So that's where our attention should go, offenseless chanting. Now the next one is, supposing you're a little successful in chanting, then what happens? You become a little spiritually elevated. And what happens? People say, oh, you're spiritually elevated. Let's give you a nice title. Let's give you some award. Let's give you some recognition and some fame and some worship and this and that. And so then the fourth category is being the enjoyer of one's little success in spiritual life. Labha, puja, and pratishta in Sanskrit terminology. Trying to be the enjoyer of the fruits of one's success in spiritual life. And then again, the impurity. A purity that rises. So, the price that one has to pay is the determination to become pure. And you follow, it's like paint by numbers. Do you know what that is, paint by numbers? You don't know what that one means. You can go to art classes and learn how to make a nice painting. But for people that don't know how to do that, they have little blocks. You know, you put red over here, red of this color over here, paint by numbers. You put blue of that color over in that box, and you get a nice, put it all together, you get a nice painting. Paint by numbers. There's no artistry at all. It's something like computer technology, and you, whatever you call that, paint box, and you move this thing over to that thing, and you create your own. It's just digital, little space, so many dots, and you got a painting. It's very, the process of bhakti is very simple. It's not mechanical, but it's very simple. We just need to enter into the spirit of what the process of bhakti is. And it's simple and sublime. And the other is just a struggle. Struggle and struggle and endless struggle. And so many times, I mean, I don't know how many times I've, you know, people come with this struggle and that struggle instead of surrender to Krishna. That's the solution. Daivihiyesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya. It's too simple. Surrender to Krishna. Too simple. But there isn't something else, because it's our natural position. The something else's make the mind unpeaceful. Bhukti, mukti, siddhi. So Rishabhdev's teachings are, take the simple and stay with it. Whatever little bit you can do, stay with it. It will grow. And it's very wonderful. And don't try to be the enjoyer of that little that grows. Use that in Krishna's service too. Dharmasya hyapavargasya nartotayopakalpate nartasya dharmaikantasya kamo labhaya hi smritaha. It's so nice. It's spelled out so clearly in the Bhagavatam. It's our life companion. Make Bhagavatam your best friend. Just hang out with Srimad Bhagavatam. Your best friend. He will always give you good advice. He will always be your well-wisher. He won't judge you. He loves you. He'll take care of you. Just hang out with Srimad Bhagavatam. Bring that relationship of Srimad Bhagavatam into your heart and be guided by that. And your life will be sublime. And that's the purport of the third verse that we read. Satatam kirtayanto mam. 24 hours, if possible, and if not, regularly. Progressively, your life will change. Those that are doing that, experience that. Those that see others that are doing that, see it happening. Get on the boat. Take a ride across the ocean of material existence. It's wonderful. Okay. Any comments or questions?
Maharaj, just like yesterday's evening, mostly I may not have understood what you are trying to convey, but...
I think I could hear you better without the microphone. Go ahead. I'll repeat the question. Your voice is
very deep and I can't hear you because you speak so deeply.
Go ahead. I want to be liberated. Yes. We make effort. So it seems that. This isn't exactly the way he said it. There's a tendency that says, I want to enjoy, and there's another tendency that says, I want to be liberated. And then there's the devotional tendency. And the devotional tendency is, I read Srimad Bhagavatam, I chant Hare Krishna. And is there any effort that we have to put into all of that to receive the full fruit of what devotional service is? That's your question, yes? Yes, yes. Even when we're doing those devotional things, tendency continues. I want to be an enjoyer. I want liberation. Yes, that's mixed. Yes, that tendency lingers. And do we need to make some endeavor to not do that? Yes. But our endeavor alone is insufficient because the tendency continues. So then it's more than an endeavor, it's calling to Krishna for his special mercy because our endeavor alone is insufficient. Our endeavor alone is tainted with these two, bhukti and mukti. And Krishna sees that. So we need to approach Krishna. Please help. Take this tendency away. That's another endeavor. Your question was, is there something we need to endeavor? Yes. If we hear the message, then it makes it easy to make that endeavor. If we don't hear the message, we'll continue with our conditioned tendency, even in the realm of devotional service, trying to be the enjoyer of the little bit of whatever it is that we're doing in devotional service. You're wearing saffron, just keep it really simple, you're wearing saffron, and in little culture that's left in India, there's some respect that goes to you simply because you're wearing saffron. You know, for you, it's I'm not interested in the other, thank you. But respect. And so, what do you do when some respect comes? There's a tendency, not like big, but a tendency in all, until we're pure in devotional service, pure in love for Krishna, some tendency. So that's the antidote for that is just stay in the humble position, etc., etc. That's the antidote. That's the endeavor that we need to make. And if some of this other bhakti or mukti tendency arises, dismiss it immediately. Get out. Or, I'm sorry, I'm just not going to pay attention to you. Neglect or a stick. Either one or the other. That's the mind. The instruction of Bhaktisiddhanta about the mind. Neglect or stick. Because the tendency will endure of its own accord in reciprocation with our long-standing tendency of being in the material world trying to be the enjoyer. It's like a stain that just doesn't go away no matter how much you rub. And therefore we need mercy. We need the proper mood to follow, to receive that mercy. The mood of humble service. Very simple. Very sublime. Something else? Yes? Go ahead. Take the microphone. I can hear your voice.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You were mentioning the importance of Bhagavatam. We should make it our best friend. There was an observation. When I'm hearing Bhagavatam from Bhagavatas, live, it's a very different experience. But when I hear recorded and all those things, that intensity is not so strong. So what should I do so that, you know, without association, I will be able to take association by hearing recorded lectures also.
Maybe the way the speaker is pointed, I think I got it. You're making a contrast between hearing live and hearing recording and what to do. It's similar to how you read Bhagavad Gita or transcendental literature. Read or listen to a recording with the meditation, cultivate the meditation that Krishna is speaking to me, or in his purports, Prabhupada is speaking to me. Let me hear that message which he wants to give to me. And same with hearing a recording of a recorded lecture. Let it be a personal relationship between Prabhupada and yourself, or the speaker and yourself, or Krishna and yourself. Others, it's meant for also, but there's a relationship. Let me hear in that mood. It's a whole other experience. Try it. Yes.
Maharaj, when we are in the live association of the Bhagavatas...
When we're in the what association?
When we are in the live association.
In the light of association?
No, in the personal association.
Personal association. Okay. Let's try without the microphone. Oh, this is the how-to question. How to be with the spiritual master in such a way that will stay with you always. That experience, that moment. It's by Krishna consciousness, that's the answer. Be attentive. And when you're attentive, something goes in. And when you're attentive, it will stay there. Tendency is to be forgetful because, hey, I want to be an enjoyer. I want to be a controller. I want to be something of this world. So then it may get covered, but that impression will stay. And this is just like... Be Krishna conscious. Stay in the mood of service. Take that message that you received and carry it as a servant of the person who you're serving and try to manifest it in your life. Bring it into the world of action in your life. And then you'll remember that person in that moment and that experience in the mood of service. Srinvanti Gayanti Grananti Sadavaha. Something else? How about from the ladies' side? Any hands up on the ladies' side? Oh, there's someone.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, Hare Krishna.
I am not able to balance my sadhana for month, complete month. I can maintain sadhana for 2 weeks. Again, I'll go down. Again, I'll go up. Again, I'll go down.
Your sadhana is up and down. What to do? Stay up. What you described has a name. It's called Anishtata Bhakti. And on the other side is Nishta Bhakti. So you have to go from unsteady to steady. And the path from unsteady to steady is called Anartha Nivritti. You've heard that one before? So walk that path. Continue, even up and down. We call it different things, the hills and the valleys. The sine curve is another one. So ride the, stay the course, striving for eradication of the impure things of the heart. And I outlined it very briefly. And that's best achieved by striving for offenseless chanting. And I'll give you a clue that may help you enormously in that. Attentiveness is the key. Attentiveness is the key. Put it in personal terms, and it's being present with. Just like this question about hearing and how, and then I lose it, some experience, and then it gets covered. Stay present. That's personal. Like when you're with another person, you're not, running to the kitchen and, taking care of a child and being all over the place. When you're with someone, you're present. it may be exchanged briefly because the child needs some attention and something on the stove. But when you're with the person, you're attentive. You're present with them. And same with the process of sadhana. When you're doing your sadhana, be fully present. And then you'll be able to be present with your other duties also in your relationship with Krishna. Practice there. And stay with it. That's the anarjanavritti path. That will get you to the nishtha, where it's the hills and the valleys diminish. You know what a sine curve is from math? That's a sine curve. So it goes like this. The amplitude diminishes over time, but also that line starts to go up. So it's, but the amplitude diminishes and the trajectory rises towards nishtha. So even, you know, the highs are less than the highs of steadiness or the position of steadiness. So just stay that path. Stay the course. Strive for steadiness or attentiveness in your devotional practices. Attentiveness in your devotional practices. Be present with the holy name. Be present with Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. Or here it's Rishabhdev. He's appeared in this world for you. For me too. And all the other Prabhus. What is it that he wishes to give you in a personal way? Try to appreciate what that is and receive it in your heart and carry it in your heart. Be present. And the steadiness will be yours. Try again. Anyone else on the ladies' side? Not such good fortune today. Going to end. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.